Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It wasn't supposed to be like this. She wasn't supposed to ever be in this situation, especially at her age. She had come too far. She had struggled too long and fought too hard to let it all slip away like it did, to lose it all at once, so quickly. At that moment, when she realized it was happening, that moment has been burned into her memory, and it's replayed constantly in her mind like a never-ending movie. She studies it, looking for a clue, looking for something that would explain how it all came to this. But there's nothing, at least nothing that she can point to. It just simply happened. Well, that's not entirely true. Something must have happened. She just doesn't know what it is. But what she does know is that it's not her fault. She's sure of that. She reflects back on all of her years, and what she sees is determination and hard work and dedication. What she sees is success. She was successful. She is successful. Well, she was anyway. He stood at the top of a hill and he looked out over a seemingly endless land. As far as the eye could see was death. Bodies, more than could be counted, men and women and children. Every age, every nationality, every walk of life. All lying lifeless across the land. See, it wasn't supposed to be this way. It wasn't supposed to be like this. There was never supposed to be a battle, never a war. There was never even supposed to be an enemy. But here he stood, looking out over the battlefield, across this sea of death. And his heart ached. It ached for every one of these people that lay motionless, separated from life for all eternity. They didn't have to die. They didn't have to rebel. He had come to wage war on only one, to defeat a single enemy. But you see, that enemy knew how to recruit. How terrible the scene was that lay before him. Where did she go wrong? 7 days every week, 15-hour days, no vacations, no distractions, total focus. She was not famous. Her company was not well known outside of any medical field. To all but her clients, she wasn't known. But all of that, that's what it took to build her company. And the yearly profit of millions of dollars affirmed that she was successful. Her husband understood her commitment. At least she thought he did. Her children, they did. They were on board. They had everything that they ever wanted. They longed for nothing. No toy was ever denied them when they were small. No gadget or car or trip was ever held from them as they grew. They had everything. The kids were happy. Her husband was happy. She was happy. Life was great. And then in a moment, it all fell apart. Not so much fell apart, it was taken from her. What had she done to deserve this? The past days were a blur, but she remembers with clarity the details of the charges that the government pressed against her. Tax evasion and money laundering. But what hurt the most, what she just couldn't erase from her mind, was the look on her husband's face when she was arrested. He had known nothing about how she built her company. And even though she disagreed with the categorization of these charges, she could see that he didn't. And she could see how hurt she had made him. But she still couldn't understand how this could be her fault. Why was this happening to her? Was she being punished for being successful? Why was God so angry with her? You see, that last question barely left her lips when she caught herself. She hadn't thought about him since childhood. Her parents were religious, so they went to church every Sunday. But she had long outgrown that. So why is she thinking about him now? As he looked upon the land, he could still see movement. The enemy had been defeated, and his followers, they were still alive. Bruised, battered from battle, but all alive. No one had made it unscathed, especially him. And as he stood on top of that hill, he glanced back from where he had come. And behind him was a heavy cross. It was stained with blood, his blood. And he remembers the torture of the whip, the pain from the nails. He remembers the struggle for every single breath. But he also remembers the isolation, the separation from God that he experienced in those final moments. It was terrible, indescribable. But it was necessary. It was the price that had to be paid to win the war. It was the price that had to be paid to win back humanity. And it was the price that only he could pay. And these bodies, these people created by God, they didn't have to die. They didn't have to rebel. He came to fight for them. He came to win for them. His act covered their sins, but they rejected his love, and now they lay dead, forever separated from their Creator. The weight of the world came crashing down around her. But in the days that followed, it was the weight of her soul that proved unbearable. She couldn't push God out of her mind, and she tried. How she tried. Nothing worked. And so, she finally relented. She purchased a Bible. She told herself that in those pages, she would find reaffirmation that God is an outdated belief. She would finally be able to get him out of her mind. But that's not what happened. As she read her way through the Gospel of Matthew, she began with the first chapter after that. The first chapter was Mark. And she read, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. The wilderness. That's exactly where she felt she was right now. She was in her own wilderness. She was there. And was there really forgiveness there for her? Was she wandering alone, forgotten? Or was somebody actually searching for her? Was it even possible that Jesus wanted to find her? She couldn't believe that. She had nothing left. She had nothing to offer him. Her business was gone. Her husband had left. Her children no longer spoke to her. She was a failure. She had nothing to give. She had fought. She had lost. Battle was over. She was completely alone, completely abandoned. You know, the world was dark that day when they laid him in the tomb. The world didn't understand what happened. They saw a man who claimed to be God, and in his death, they claimed victory. That was 3 days ago. He rose from the grave. He is alive. As he looks across the land, he sees his followers. These are the ones that he has chosen, the ones who have received him. You see, these are the ones that he calls his brothers and his sisters. These are the ones that he calls his own. And off in a distance, he sees the silhouette of a broken woman, crushed by the weight of her sins, completely defeated. She's calling out to him. And he has been looking for her, and he has finally found her. The world has deceived her. The enemy has bound her, but not for any longer. And he runs to her. He runs, wastes no time. And when he reaches her, he places his hands on her shoulder and he whispers into her ear, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that the warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." See, she has been reading the Bible day and night, partly because it keeps her mind from wandering, but mostly because she feels something tugging at her heart. She's currently in the book of Isaiah, and she has just read a couple of verses. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. And she looks up, because it seems like these verses were being read to her. She can't explain it, not even to herself. But all of a sudden, it begins to make sense. These words are not just captured on a page. These words are not just history. These are the words that God is speaking to her. It's as though he is right there with her, right there whispering into her ear. She gets it. It's like a veil that's being lifted from her eyes. She can see now who God is. She was wrong about him. He is not some abstract idea, something to grow out of. He's a person, and he's a person who cares for her. He is a God who loves her. He is calling out to her. She's no longer lost. She's no longer abandoned and alone. She is his, and he is hers. Her war has ended, and her iniquity pardoned. She has been made perfect in him. She knows why he suffered and died. Because of her. He suffered and died for her. He went to the ends of the earth to find her, and he will not let her go. She is his, and he is hers, and nothing will ever change that. The war is ended. The iniquity is pardoned. We have received from the Lord's hand double for all of our sins. And thanks be to God. Let us pray. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out. In your name we pray. Amen.